name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come on up. You can sit on the elbow if you want. Today is the second Sunday of Lent, in which we celebrate St. Gregory Palamas, one of the greatest of the Holy Fathers, who actually was St. Maximus the Confessor, and the two of them have a lot of things in common, were among the greatest of the Fathers. Because what they did was they synthesized all of the theological vision of the Fathers who came before them. St. Maximus in the 7th century, St. Gregory Palamas in the 14th century. And there's a great unity between them because St. Maximus was actually one of the great resources that was used by St. Gregory Palamas. But I think there's a lot more that we need to understand, and it's revealed really by the Gospel readings and by the Epistle readings. We have the Epistle reading in which from Hebrews, in which it talks about we have such a great high priest that St. Gregory Palamas, being a high priest, being a bishop, which is archiereus, means both high priest and bishop, is that he attained to a likeness to Christ. He served like Christ did, and he gave up his life for his flock. St. Gregory didn't die as a martyr, but he came very close several times. There were times when St. Gregory was imprisoned by the Muslims, and he was for a long time, when he was taken captive, and he came very close to being killed many times for his flock. He also stood up and bore witness. He bore witness to that truth of the faith, which he understood, which he saw and experienced through the not only through the writings of the Holy Fathers, but through his own life. Then we come to the Gospel reading, which also talks about the Good Shepherd, that I am the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He knows the Father. And he knows his sheep. St. Gregory Palamas is one who attained to that knowledge of God, to a true knowledge of God. Not knowing about God, not simply being able to theologize and to write all sorts of very complex philosophical texts about the deity and the unity and the Trinity and all of these concepts by which we refer to God, but he knew God and he experienced God and he lived in God. As St. Isaac the Syrian, one of the other greatest of the Fathers, said, he is one who, having attained to eternal life, had consciousness, was conscious in God. And it's precisely this that I think is the most important thing for us. That each one of us, certainly those of us who are bishops and priests, but every one of us, is called to that living experience of union in God, of union in Christ with the Father by the Holy Spirit, of that living experience of God, entering into God's own relationship into the Trinity, the relationship of the Son to the Father by the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that we can experience God as Father. So often for us in our Christian walk, it starts out with God as a concept. You know, God is an idea. And we believe in the idea because we like the idea. But then our faith matures and we grow deeper and deeper. And we begin to relate to God. And he relates back to us, and we begin to experience God. But the mystery of our life in Christ is that we go deeper and deeper into that living relationship of sonship to the Father. that we experience God acting in our life, that we experience the cleansing and the purification and the illumination of our souls, that we enter into Christ's own relationship with the Father, and indeed can attain to likeness to Christ. When we meet the Holy Fathers, when we meet the elders who have persevered, especially in the ascetic life, or those also who have persevered through great suffering and have been sanctified by it, we can see that this whole thing works, that it's not just some kind of abstract idea, you know, that it's that all of this asceticism and the prayer and the fasting and the long services and the disciplines and all of this theology and stuff, it's not just, you know, some kind of nice philosophical system, but rather that it really transforms our lives. And transformation of our life is really what it's all about. That's why we're here. You know, we're all Orthodox by choice. It doesn't matter whether we've been raised in the church or whether we came to it late in life. We're all Orthodox by choice. There's plenty of people who were raised in the church who aren't here anymore because they chose not to follow it. But as St. Paul says, how can we neglect such a great salvation? How can we neglect such a great salvation, such a great gift? The gift of God giving Himself to us. The gift of God uniting us to Himself. Not just bringing us to heaven. It's much more than that. It's God sharing His life with us. And it's precisely this that St. Gregory Palamas was one of the great exponents of, like St. Maximus before him, like all the fathers before him. That this living relationship with the Father in the Son by the Spirit is the very substance of our life. It's not simply, our salvation is not simply that we've been transferred from the category of the damned to the category of the saved because we profess faith in Jesus. That's a beginning. We've got to begin someplace. Our salvation is infinitely greater than that. Infinitely more profound. To be united in Christ as His own flesh and blood. To have the blood of Christ flowing through our veins. To have our flesh and our minds and our hearts radiant with the grace of the Holy Spirit. We see that when we encounter the relics of the saints. How even after they've died, sometimes centuries after they've died, their bodies still remain full of the grace of the Holy Spirit. And when we encounter the relics of these saints, we're raised up and transformed because the grace of the Holy Spirit flows out from these relics and affects our lives. Just as the grace of the Holy Spirit, having transformed the bread and the wine of the Eucharist into the body and blood of Christ, that bread and that wine becomes a radiant coal of His presence. And we partake of it so that we become that radiant coal of His presence. St. Gregory Palamas is known for having written about the uncreated light. And there's a lot of misunderstanding. You know, some people think that seeing the uncreated light is the goal of the Christian life. No, it's a byproduct. It's a kind of a happy add-on. Because the goal of the Christian life is not to see the uncreated light. The goal of the Christian life is salvation. It's that living communion in Christ. But when we attain to that fullness of salvation, when we attain to the sanctification of our souls and bodies and the transformation of our very consciousness, we see the uncreated light, and all of creation dances in its beauty. And we restored the paradise. St. Gregory Palamas wrote about this. St. Gregory Palamas not only wrote about it, but he led people into it. Through that personal spiritual discipleship, which is so necessary for this kind of spiritual ascent. So let us strive for that, that we in our lives might find that personal discipleship, that striving for the one thing needful, that striving for God, to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to allow, and to let go of everything that keeps us from that. That having detached from all of the things which keep us bound to the earth, we might ascend to heaven here, now, in this life. And so that we might also see that same vision, and we might be transfigured with that same grace. But it's precisely by allowing ourselves to change and to be changed, to be transformed, which is what repentance is all about, which is what Lent is all about, that we actualize in our lives the teaching of St. Gregory Palamas, of St. Maximus, and of all the Holy Fathers who have come and have shown us by their lives and by their having attained to that same grace that what a great salvation has been given to us in Christ by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.